turn to a passage that actually Andrew alluded to this morning, actually, in Luke chapter 17. It's funny because I thought he might actually elaborate a bit about the passage when I heard him sort of mention it in Luke 17 and verse 11, but he didn't actually. But that's fine, because at least this evening we can sort of have a closer look at it. It's in Luke 17 and verse 11, and it's a very well-known passage in the scriptures, in this encounter with the Lord Jesus with the 10 lepers. So Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, it came to pass as he, that's the Lord, went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, I was thinking of this passage actually a few weeks ago. We'd been in China over the last over the school holiday period for about 3 weeks, and we'd had been traveling around mainly in one city. But the thing in China is that there's so many people, and that was sort of the thing that really shocked me when we were sort of in these cities. There's about 1.7 billion people now in the country, 1.43 billion people, if you look online. And in the city that we were in, a place called Chengdu, there was about 21 million. That was on a census back about four years ago. So 21 million people crammed into this city. And then the one thing that stood out is when we flew over to Shanghai, and if you've ever been there, again, it's a very condensed, busy city. Even in that city itself, it's estimated to have about 30 million people, more than the population, obviously, than Australia, which currently stands at about 26.6 million people, all crammed into that one city, okay? And when you think about, you know, Brisbane itself and the outer outskirts of Brisbane, we're looking at about 2.5 million people. So, you know, Brisbane itself seems like this country town when you get into these massive cities in China. And when I was thinking about this, and I remember in Shanghai, there's a river that goes from the sea into and throughout. It goes inland. It's called the Bund, and it's very interesting because this river separates the old city from the new city. And if you go out there at night, the lights go up, and the people just come out. And they're all crammed in. If you think of like South Bank on over New Year's or with River Fire, all the people are just crammed into this small space. And this is when I started to think, how many people here condensed in this city, and just these thoughts just came to me, how many of these people that I'm standing crammed in, I wonder how many of these people truly know God? How many truly know the Savior, the Lord Jesus? It made me really think, out of these millions and billions of people, the percentage. So, again, if you look online, I think with different surveys, they say that in China, there's probably around about 1 to 2% of the population would identify themselves as Christians, or Christians. And that, again, that's a very wide, perhaps loose term, I guess, when you think about a survey. But even that, you're looking at about, in China, maybe about 20 million people, which still is quite a lot. But when you look at it, it's still a minority. And this is what I want to focus on tonight. The passage that we've read, here we have 10 people that came to the Lord for help because of their sickness. But it was really the minority, the 10%, the one person out of the 10 that we read here, and we'll have a think and look at it, that were truly made whole. It was a minority. A minority of 1 out of 10, the 10% that came and were actually made whole. So in Luke chapter 17, we have here a passage where the Lord was passing through this area called Samaria. And for some of us who remember the Good Samaritan, the story of that story, and how there was always a conflict between this group of people called the Samaritans and the Jews. They hated each other. And it goes back into the Old Testament as to the reasons why that happened. But there were two groups of people that really didn't like each other. And the Lord was passing through this area. And I'm sure the disciples that were following didn't really want to be there. But he was going to Jerusalem. He was headed, actually, to finally go to the place where he was going to be crucified. But he had to pass through this way. And it so happens that as he comes through this area, that there are 10 lepers that meet him. And we read about this, a bit about this disease in the Old Testament. If you look back into Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, you read about this awful condition called leprosy. And nowadays, we have, I think, we sort of know a bit more about perhaps what this condition was. It was a skin condition caused by a bacteria, and thankfully, nowadays, we can treat this condition with some antibiotics. But when you read about this disease, it's awful. It affected the skin of the people that had it, such that their skin changed colour. People would shave their heads because it would cover their whole body. And it was such that if they had this condition, they in the Bible, they were told that they had to call out unclean, unclean, if there was a person that was clean or that didn't have the disease that would come in and be in their presence. They were a people that had to be separated and made sure that they didn't come into contact with people that didn't have it. Interestingly enough, they back then, they obviously weren't in the Old Testament, they weren't doctors, but there were priests that saw their condition. And they were the ones that would inspect the skin of these people and would basically call and diagnose it, that they had leprosy. But also, they were the ones that would monitor it and give them the all clear if the skin condition went away. They were considered to be, I guess, the local doctors at the time. But, you know, there wasn't a cure during this period of time. They had to be isolated. They had to be separated, ostracized in order that it wouldn't be spread. Similar to what we've been through, isn't it, in the last couple of years with the COVID. Now, you know, can you imagine just the implications of this? And it only affected their skin physically. So there was a physical nature in that their skin was involved. And I remember a couple of years ago, in fact, when I had COVID the first time, I've had it twice, I remember I had COVID probably through the hospital. And then about 2 or 3 days later, I started getting these little bumps in my hands, on my face, all over my head, and then on my feet. And it was such that I think one of the boys had come back from daycare or school and actually gave me hand, foot, and mouth disease. And I remember it was so far terrible than COVID itself. I was itching, I was scratching, it was burning. But the very pain and suffering of a condition, of a skin condition, I really sympathise with these people as I was thinking about this, these people with leprosy, how their skin was so involved. But not only that, they were socially isolated. Can you imagine if perhaps one of them had this condition, and they perhaps were living initially with their parents and their family. Well, the family would have disowned them. They would have had to been put out. They would have had to have gone to live with another group of lepers. So they would have been separated from their family, separated from their friends, socially isolated, as we read about this in Leviticus chapter 13. And just like with any condition, there's a psychological nature of this as well. Can you imagine with this condition, there's no cure. There's no tablet or medication or drug that they could take. Can you imagine that they would have had to have lived with this for the rest of their lives, and how miserable they would have been, how depressed, and I'm sure some of them would have just wanted to really just end it all psychologically. And finally, there was in fact a spiritual nature to this as well. Now, I'm not saying that with all the cases, but we read in the scriptures in the Old Testament how there were certain people that got leprosy because they were punished by God. We read in the book of Numbers, chapter 16, how Miriam spoke against Moses. And we read of how she, as punishment, got leprosy, and she had to be put out of the camp, we read in number 16, for 8 days before the leprosy, after she repented, went away. We read of King Uzziah in the book of Chronicles, and how he wanted to bring incense into the temple. He wanted to offer by his own way, by his own means, to God. But it was the priest's role at this time to bring the offering. And because of that, he had leprosy as well. God punished him with this condition. So there was a spiritual aspect of this as well, within regards to punishment from God. And this just really reminds me of something that has a similar nature, in a similar manner. We read of how sin can affect us, not only as we know spiritually, it separates us from God. It divides us from that relationship, from the fellowship, from the interaction from God himself, spiritually. Psychologically, we read of how if a person is living in sin, or if a person who is separated from God and is in sin, their minds are taken up with vain imaginations. We read this in Romans chapter 1. Their minds are corrupt and reprobate. Their hearts are darkened. So psychologically, they're in that place of darkness. We read of how sin not only affects one spiritually and psychologically, but even socially. We think of how light can't mix with darkness. Unbelievers and believers, there really isn't that common ground. Light and darkness, unrighteousness and righteousness. And I remember when I was growing up, before I got saved, I knew that there was always that conflict of knowing that this person was saved, but I wasn't. And there was really that, not that commonality. There was nothing there that I could really do or have in common with that other person. And even physically, you know, when sin corrupts the flesh, it really leads even to a physical problem with health problems. And we see that particularly with those that have had addictions with drugs and alcohol, how it affects their health. So not only is leprosy, I guess, a type or an example of sin, but we see how this disease and condition affected these poor lepers. But I want to move on. And we see how the Lord came down and intervened in this group of people. We read of how the lepers, they'd seen the Lord Jesus afar off. They were standing knowing that they couldn't have any contact with the Lord. And they cried out, we read there in verse 13, they lifted up their voices, and it wasn't a whisper here. They were crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And you know, it's a term here, Master. It was a term only used by his disciples, but here we have this term, Master, used by these lepers, recognizing that they were in the presence of someone who was supreme, someone who had authority, The word is really a commander or superintendent, but he was one that had the power to do something about their condition. They recognized that they had a need. They recognized individually and collectively that there was nothing that they could have done with their condition, and that's why they cried out for mercy, crying out to the Lord himself, the Lord Jesus himself, for help. And what's beautiful is in the next verse, we read of how the Lord saw them, not as, I guess, other people saw them. You know, it's wonderful when we read of these instances and interactions with the Lord and different groups of people, how he gently, you think of how much compassion he had, how he had the patience and took the time. You know, he was headed through this region, as I mentioned earlier, and the disciples didn't want to be in this place. And I'm sure many of his disciples would have just said, listen, we're going to Jerusalem. We don't want to have anything to do with these Samaritans. Let's just keep on going. But the Lord stopped. He took the time, and despite the stench, despite the, I guess, the reputation of a group of lepers, he stood and he stopped. He saw them in their desperate need, and I'm sure he loved them, just as God would love a group of people that needed help. He didn't go and touch them. And it's always again, interesting to see how the Lord not only healed people by touching them, but he healed this group of people simply by speaking the word. He didn't touch them. He didn't tell them to go to a river and you know, dip themselves in the river, just like he told the Lord told Naaman back in the Old Testament when he had leprosy. This time there was no physical contact, but instead he told this group of people to go and obey the law. He says to them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And if you were again to read back to Leviticus 13 and 14, it was the priest that were the group of people that had to deal with this condition. They were the ones that had to inspect their skin. They were involved in the whole process of managing this condition. So it's interesting that the Lord told them to actually go and obey the law, to go to the priest. And it was actually not just a simple thing as you're cured, see you later. Even that whole process took around about 8 days to ensure that their skin condition had gone away. Now, what happened? And I guess the thing here, the reason why they were cured is because they listened to the words of the Lord and they obeyed. Yes, they had faith in him as a healer. They had faith in him as a miracle worker. And yes, they had faith in his word, and they obeyed it, and they were cleansed. But as you see, you know, this was just a simple, basic faith in his healing power. But his miracle was so much more than this. It was really dependent upon their obedience to follow his word. They were cleansed. The word there for cleansed really means to be completely purged, to be complete. Nothing that was remaining of their skin condition represented leprosy. They were completely healed from top to toe. I wonder, maybe they noticed it as they saw each other, as their skin changed, as they realized that they were healed and they were completely changed. But they recognized that the Lord had done this. By their obedience to his word, they were completely cleansed. Now, that's not the end of the story. And really the focus in the last few moments is really this one who came back, 1 out of 10. And I always wonder, you know, what was going through his mind at the time. You know, this one person who was healed. And I think, you know, as I'd mentioned earlier, as he realized that he was completely changed with his condition, I think, first of all, he would have thought, well, I'm no longer going to die from this condition. And, you know, a lot of people did die from this condition purely because their skin started to peel. They probably got infections. And I think it's even reported that their digits would fall off. He realized that he was no longer going to die from this condition. Physically, he was going to be fine. Secondly, I think socially, he could now go back to his family. He could go back to his family and his friends, and he could now mix and no longer be ostracized and separated from his loved ones. So socially, he got his life back. Mentally, psychologically, he had no reason to be miserable. He had no reason to be depressed. He now had the joy of knowing that he'd been cured. But you know, finally, spiritually, I wonder what was going through his mind spiritually, because I'm sure a lot of them would have felt condemned and thought that they were under the judgment of God because they had this condition. And because of that, the curiosity of this one to know more about this one who had just healed him, I'm sure he was very, very much interested to know who was this person. So he comes back, and I wonder, he must have realized that the Lord Jesus, he was much more than a healer. And I'm sure he would have heard from people around the area that he was much more than a prophet. He was much more than one that could just teach and preach the word of God. I think he must have realized that this one was in fact the Christ, the Messiah, the one that was meant to come and tell them of all things. In fact, God himself, because there was no other person that could have done this. No one else in the region that was doing these miracles save the Lord Jesus himself. And the fact that he came back was to demonstrate that he wanted to know more. You know, he wasn't satisfied just to be clean, just to be cleansed from his leprosy, and to then go forth and go back to the priest and to demonstrate that he actually had been cured from the condition. He wasn't satisfied just to go away after being healed. He wanted to know more of who this person was. Who is this one that has healed me, but perhaps can do much more than that? So he turns back to Jesus, the Lord himself, and we read of three things. Three things that he does. The first thing here in verse 18, he gives glory to God. He glorifies God. Now the word here is doxa. It's like a megaphone. It's a megaphone. You know, with a megaphone, and I remember, I don't think I've even heard a megaphone for a long time, but actually in China, they used to have a lot of megaphones in China to tell people where to go, to cross the road and everything. And you could hear it 2-3 blocks away, this shouting. And it's really, the word here to glorify God is a real shout in a loud voice to render excellence to God himself, to render and to make known God in all of his excellency. You know, he wasn't silent. He wasn't, you know, whispering and carrying on in his own way. He wanted to make it known that this was God himself. He gave God the glory. And what wonderful way it was. And we thought a bit about this even this morning. I think Graham sort of mentioned it a little bit. And then in terms of bowing down, we read of here of worship, the second thing that he does. He bows down and falls down at the feet of the Lord himself in verse 16. He falls down on his face, and no doubt he's worshiping the Lord himself. A physical act of worship, prostrate before the Lord Jesus. And he knew that it was God alone, the Lord God himself, the Lord Jesus here, that had to be worshipped. And this is I would imagine this was a recognition that Jesus was God. But finally, the third thing that he does is that he gives thanks in verse 16. He praises God for what he's done. And you don't read about that for the other nine. He comes back and he gives thanks to God, to the Lord himself, for what he's done. Now, in the last few verses here, we read of how the Lord really distinguishes this one person out of the other nine. He says, well, where are the other nine? There were 10 people that I cleansed. Where are the nine other people? And it's interesting that Luke really points this out. And Luke, being a physician, and as you read his gospel, is very good with the details of different things. But he points out here there were 9 people that didn't come back. And reading sort of through the lines here, I wonder whether the other 9 were actually Jews that probably went away because they knew the law, And they went to the priest. But we make it clear here in verse 16 that this one person was a Samaritan. So here we have someone who was really out of, I guess, was recognized as a stranger. As we read here in the verses in verse 18, he was a stranger. He was a foreigner. Someone who is outside the realm of all the blessings of Israel. Someone who really had no, I guess, promises or blessings. If you're in that lineage of Israel, he couldn't enter into the temple courts as perhaps some of the other Jews could. He had to stay outside. But we have one person here. He was a Samaritan. And it's so interesting here that someone who was outside, a foreigner, a stranger, he didn't go to the temple to look for God. He didn't go to the priests to find blessing. In fact, he found blessing in the Lord Jesus himself. He came to that person, the one and only person, the one true living God, the Lord Jesus, and he turns to him and he bows down and gives thanks. It's a wonderful picture here, giving glory to God. You know, it made me think, you know, there's lots of people, many people, and rightly so, are blessed by God. We sort of touched a little bit about this morning again in Andrew's message, how he sends rain upon the just and as well as the unjust. Many people, whether they're believers or unbelievers or not, we're truly, even living in this country, after I came back from China, you realize just the things that you have in this country that you can't get in China. Access to things on the internet even. Access to the scriptures. Access to fellowship like this, being able to openly open up the Word of God. So many blessings. But you know, despite the blessings that we have, you know, many people are blessed. And we certainly live in a country that is so blessed by God himself, even though there's so much wickedness even in this country. We read that people, even though they may have a recognition or an understanding perhaps of God, we read in the book of Romans, they still do not glorify him as God himself. They're not thankful. They're vain in their imaginations. They're foolish in their hearts, which are darkened. But you know, this person here, this one person, the minority, he came to know something much more than healing. Because we read in the last verse that we read in verse 19, we read that his faith had made him whole. That's what the Lord Jesus said to him. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And again, the word here is not to do with cleansing, as we read in verse 14. The word doesn't relate to healing, of which we read in verse 15. The word here for being made whole actually has to do with salvation. He's actually saying, the Lord Jesus is actually saying, thy faith hath saved you. And I wonder, what has he been saved from? Sure, he's been saved from leprosy, yes. But you know, this man, this Samaritan, he got much more than being saved from leprosy that day when he met the Lord Jesus. He truly knew, and I'm sure he truly knew who God was, the Lord Jesus himself. He got physical cleansing, but he got spiritual cleansing as well. And it went beyond. His faith went beyond just believing in miracles. And though he believed that Jesus was a miracle worker, and I'm sure he believed that he was a prophet, the Messiah, but when it came to the Lord Jesus, he knew that in this person was found salvation, was found one that could save him even from his sin. You know, the Lord Jesus is not only displaying his power in healing here in this story, but I guess, again, it's just teaching us a lesson. And it made me think, it made me really think, are we like the nine? Are we like the nine, the 90%, the majority, the attitude of the majority towards God and even the Lord Jesus? It made me think, you know, sure, we're blessed. And you know, when we think about these nine people, the 10 people, they came to the Lord for healing. The nine really wanted just the healing of their disease. They wanted blessing. But they didn't expect to give back anything in return. There was no praise, there was no worship, there was no adoration. And, you know, they could say, yes, I believe in God. Yes, I believe that Jesus can heal me. But, you know, I can just do what he says. And I don't really care about my sin or eternal life. As long as I have a good life with blessings here on earth, that's really what matters. And that's what the majority, I'm sure, of Australia would love. But the question that I had to ask, even myself, is, am I like that one leper, the Samaritan, the 10%? And do I have that same attitude towards God himself, Christ? Do I give glory to God? Am I prepared to bow down at his feet, give him thanks continually, submit to the Lord himself? And you know, if you're here tonight, or if you're listening over the internet from this message, maybe you're wondering, do you have that condition which I talked about, this thing called sin in your life? And is it affecting not only your spiritual life, but also socially, psychologically, physically? Is it affecting your life in that way? And are you prepared, as the minority would, to come to the Lord and confess that you really are a sinner, that you need to be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that he did die on the cross for your sins, and then he rose again 3 days later to give you life? You know, the Lord Jesus, and this is really what I'll close with, you know, we think of the majority of people, and we think of the minority, and we think of, I guess, what the Lord had to say in Matthew chapter 7, of the people that went and were going the broad way. There was a two ways to go. One way, which the majority went, that led to destruction, the broad way. But he also spoke of a less popular way, where the minority went, the straight gate, a narrow way, which leads to eternal life. But there would be few that find it. And really tonight, I guess I'd like to ask, are we going that narrow way? Are we following the Lord? You know, it's not a popular way. It's the minority way. It's the 10%. It's really that small percentage of people that would be following the Lord. And that's really the question that I'd have to ask you tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, just like that leper, not only was he cleansed, but he came to know him in the Lord Jesus in all his fullness. He knew the Lord as a savior, that he could be saved. And we just trust tonight, if you don't know him, that you might know him. Let's just pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we just bless you and thank you, Lord God. We just bow our hearts before you and give glory to God because of who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is and what he's done even there at the cross. We think of this passage, this encounter, and how the 10 were cleansed from their leprosy. We thank you, Lord God, that you indeed have the power to heal. But much more than this, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, Lord, to not only heal, but also to save people from their sin. And we just pray, Lord, even tonight, as we've listened to these words, that you would just speak to us, encourage us. But Father God, if there be anybody here or listening to this message, that they may understand and know what it means to trust the Savior. Lord, just help us, Lord. Bless us this week as we go away from this place. Help us, Lord, to, like this leper, glorify God. Help us to worship and help us to give thanks for all that you've done for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.